I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
It is the Chris and Amy Show. Welcome in. You're okay. We're okay. Everything is okay. It is Friday, so we are we're at the weekend, basically. 314-436-7900, the number to call and text. You can drop us a voice message on the Odyssey app. Very simple. Right by the Listen Live button, there's another one that allows you to record a message and send it to the show, to the station. Everybody will hear it. We'll play it, and then we'll make fun of it. That's not true. But you can also watch us if you want to on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter at Chris Amy KMOX on Twitter. Follow us.
Time now for the top of the order. The top 3 stories everyone will be talking about.
Yeah, Kara Spencer continues to assemble her staff for the new administration, which starts in a few days. It's wild to me that the mayor is elected and then a week later is the mayor.
It's crazy how it works.
How about a little
democracy,
time here?
Democracy, baby. Yeah. China is issuing more retaliatory tariffs against the U.S. It's like a tennis match. I don't know who has the ball right now, but it's back and forth and it continues.
And the Cardinals are back at home. They've got the Phillies in town tonight. And the first Friday night live by Lowe's with John Mozeliak. That'll be here on KMOX after the ball game tonight. So we've got John Hancock and Michael Kelly hanging out with us on this Friday.
Hello.
Fellas, how are we doing okay?
Doing well.
All right, good. It's good to see you both. It's good to have you here. Michael's been in 3 days in a row.
I have. It's good. I've enjoyed it.
Are you feeling better?
Oh, I feel great. I sound stupid, but I feel great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You look good.
We're running at 50% today.
I know. Everybody's sick around here.
I'm not sick.
Except
Michael's
for
not sick.
I woke up this morning and I lost my voice.
Oh, man.
That's no good.
You two walk in here like a hazmat team. You've got you've got little things to wipe stuff down.
Yep.
You got plastic bags. You have trash. It's quite an intimidating look.
Yeah, I do it out of self-preservation. This is the sickest place I've ever worked. I've never met so many sick people. So, I mean, my fingernails are falling off from Cloroxing everything around me all the time.
Really?
It's like a preschool.
Is this behavior now moved beyond the walls of KMOX? Do you act this way everywhere you go? Do you show up at your parents' house and just start rubbing it down?
Well, no, because I kind of think there's only 2 places that I act like this, KMOX and the airport. I kind of put them on the same level of grossness.
Dude.
And
wait till you get on an Amtrak.
Oh, man.
I love Amtrak, but it is not the cleanest.
So
it
Clorox,
just isn't.
Clorox has little to-go packs, little to-go wipes, and I bring them with me. And so every time I get on a plane, it's a little bit like, what about Bob? But I wipe down the seat, the tray table, the belt. If it's, you know, a little anything around me, I ask the person next to me, I go, would you like me to disinfect? And they're like, oh, I thank you very much. And then I make a nice friend. It's very nice.
And I agree with you. And I think people probably look at you weird, like, oh, look at this psychopath with their Clorox wipes.
Are you aisle or window?
So I am.
I hope you're a middle.
I am whatever I need to be.
Oh, because she's so small.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I will naturally pick the window. I'm a window person.
Because you're selfish.
Because I'm selfish. But when I travel with people, I usually sit in the middle because I don't mind it. I mean, I've sat in the middle on international flights. Yeah. Like, you just do what you have to do. So I am either window or middle. Like, when I go on my trips with Noah and we hike and so forth, usually I'll pick the middle seat because I'll, like, pay extra to pick my seat. I pick the middle and she'll have the window.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's how it should be.
That's
if
nice
you're a smaller person and you don't take that much space, you should. Can you imagine, like, I think it's almost as inconsiderate as when the tiny people sit on the aisle as if the big guy sat right in the middle, like, and takes up all the other seats.
Yeah. It's no good.
No. Yeah, I agree with you.
Hancock, he's got
all
a whole.
All three of you guys would be non-middle seat people. You guys are big people.
We travel together, and Hancock, he's taught me a routine to master travel.
I call it the pufferfish.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
So you find out, you go to the airport, you find out how full is the flight. And they say it's totally full. Well, then, okay, whatever. But it's almost totally full, but there's, you know, three or four open seats.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
There you go. Mm-hmm. You walk in, you find somebody that's got some heft about them, who's sitting on a window, and I plant myself on the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
And then I am able to manufacture about three chins, and I like a puffer fish.
Yep.
I blow myself up and
throw those legs open.
Yes, mm-hmm. and more often than not, nobody in the middle.
John, what's your inseam?
I don't know.
Okay, well, I got pretty long legs.
30.
Oh, my legs?
Yeah, what do you think an inseam is?
34. I don't.
34 is
you're
long.
You're 34.
That's a long. Okay, so John. John is a long
leg. He's the stork.
Yeah.
He was the stork.
I have no torso.
Yeah.
Which is not good because, you know, that's where all your weight accumulates.
When you have a.
You can't dispense it.
That's right.
Disperse it anywhere.
When you have a 34-inch inseam, you can spread out a lot on a plane.
Yeah.
And it looks like you're covering way more space than you actually are.
That's
and people,
right.
You know, they're glancing, oh, what's a good space for me to sit?
No,
oh, no, that guy's taking up too much space.
Yeah.
I'll keep going. I do it too.
Right.
That's the way to do it.
I do that, yeah.
Then you stumble across upon a little Amy sitting right there on one of the aisle seats, and you just want to pick her up and, you know, put her in the middle.
See,
she's a good player.
You should put her in the overhead. That's where you should ride.
I'm a carry-on.
Yeah.
Actually,
stuff you under the seat.
If I could go for free and lie down in an overhead, I think that would not be a bad ride. Mm. It's dark. You could sleep and lie down. I will say this. I am the opposite of John. I'm all torso. Very short legs. It's stupid. But when I've flown international, I fly the super duper economy, which means you have to sign a waiver. Like if we run out of gas, we dump your seats first, that type of. And here's the thing, though. Even for international flights, I'll get in my seat. I did an 11 and a half hour. I went to Australia, which was 17 hours, but another flight was like 12 hours. And I'm cramped. Like, my legs, I can't stretch my legs out. I have the world's shortest legs for a 5'5 person. Proportionally, I am all off. And I'm cramped. I, honest to goodness, don't know how taller people, how you guys sit in a seat and manage to sit in a seat.
Well, you got to have the aisle. You just throw that leg out the aisle right there. And
I mean, I'm cramped, and I have little stumpy legs.
You would think for how important seats are on an airplane, they would be able to craft something that was just a wee bit more comfortable than what they have.
You know what they're doing now? They're building seats where you're hardly sitting. You're almost standing. It's like you're, I forgot what they're calling it, like, I don't know, hyper economy or something, because the seats are closer together so they can stuff more people in. And you are basically leaning on the seat with hardly any actual seat room for your butt.
Like almost like you're on a subway.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah,
because you could pass
I could
out.
Do that to Chicago, but I couldn't do that.
No. Yeah, like a four-hour flight to Arizona?
Yeah,
like,
come on.
You know what my new thing is? It's not a new thing. And experienced travelers will be like, Amy, you know, you're not doing anything new. And I get it. But here's the thing. My mom and my sister, like overpackers, right? Like we're going to go. We want to stay at a nice hotel. We want to have of our stuff, all of our face creams and clothes and all
gotta
of
this. Gotta have all of it.
No check in a bag. I'm stuffing it in a backpack. I'm going for 10 days with a carry-on because there is nothing more freeing than not having to check luggage, and I finally learned how to do it. Now, probably not all trips. You can't do this for all trips because sometimes you just have to bring stuff. But like for hiking trips, you wear your hiking boots, you wrap everything tight in a packing cube, you stuff it in your carry-on. Bingo! Yep. You're done.
That is nirvana. You're
it's
exactly
amazing.
Right.
Yes.
Because, and you don't realize how much stress at the airport before and afterwards you're avoiding by not having to participate in the whole bag part of the
process. You
got to
have your stuff, though. But I mean, you have to have your stuff.
You never know what you're going
to
need.
John goes to Kansas City with a trunk.
Yeah, because you've got to have your. And so I just went to Kansas City.
Yeah.
And I had my suitcase.
Yeah. And tell them, and you call me, and you who usually bring two suitcases didn't have something. I've literally traveled with you for a weekend where you've brought a coffee maker, an iron, a steamer.
He's like Princess Vespa.
Yeah, I mean, you got to have your stuff. So I had my suitcase. I had two garment bags.
Two garments? I don't even have a garment bag.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got to have, you know, you got to have garments. I mean, you can't walk around out there without garments on.
So what did you forget?
Well, I didn't have the, it was, so I did my nephew's wedding, and his lovely bride, my now niece-in-law, was determined to have the wedding outside. And last weekend in Kansas City, it was very cold and very windy, and Georgianne bought me a new suit.
Hey, now.
To do the wedding, very thin new suit. And, so once they made the call to do the wedding outside, I thought, boy, this is not good. I'm talking to my buddy over here, Michael Kelly. And I said, you know, I didn't pack my long johns. And so you told me.
I said, where are you staying? He says, I'm close to the plaza. I said, go down to Lululemon and get something. He goes, isn't that a girl's store?
$100.
$100. Yeah, it sounds about right.
For some effectual long johns.
Yeah.
And, but I bit the bullet,
and
I bought the long johns or whatever they call them. I call them something.
Leggings.
Yeah.
No, I think Lululemon, the real trendy place, calls them long johns.
Yeah.
Too.
Well, I mean that's what they were.
Hey, coming to Lulu's for some long johns.
How do leggings look on a stork? Because you know they can be slimming and really.
All I can tell you, buddy, is that my wife found them very attractive. Yeah. And. So, but you know, you got to stand up there and you know, pronounce the husband and wife stuff, and you know, the wind's.
But you didn't wear.
The wind's blowing out there.
Yeah,
you weren't just in the long johns; you had the suit. Pants
I had the
on.
Suit pants yeah. on, Amy. My new thin suit.
Can you ever see yourself just going out for a walk in just the leggings from Lululemon?
No, buddy.
Why not?
No. It's not happening.
They say it's slimming for your legs.
Yeah, you should have
my legs are already very
You should have done a walkabout.
No.
You should have done a walkabout in public.
I didn't even try them on. I bought them on site and took them back to the hotel, clipped off all the
What would
tags.
It take for you to just walk around in those things?
A lot
public.
Of money.
Yeah.
A lot of money.
Money.
Money that nobody in this room possesses.
I told you that Hancock's weird. He's out for a walk and he looks like little Richard.
John Hancock, he really does overpack. So
he's got some gams.
Yeah, I do.
I don't know what I wanted to do next.
Yeah.
What time is it?
Well,
9:16?
He's the overpacker. Ronge is the overpacker.
I overpack.
I was an overpacker. Now I'm an underpacker.
I'm an underpacker.
Michael's an underpacker.
Backpack only, please.
And I'm traveling with some friends who are very, very low maintenance. They think I'm high maintenance. I mean, like, I'm going on hiking trips. I'm doing carry-on only, they think. And I said, compared to what I came from, I'm a Marine. Like, compared to my mom and sister, I feel like a Marine because they're, like John, their theory, which was my theory for a long time, it's better to have and not need than to need
and not have.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly right.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful sentiment.
We've had this conversation. I'm an over-talker about it. But once you make this switch in your head to have less stuff, it's the most
great.
Freeing
if you can do it.
Ever. Yeah. And I've done it.
Well, let me ask you
less
this.
Less stuff.
When you go on a trip, how do you specifically, somebody who showers three times a day, how
well,
do you
I'm
pack
gonna
a
go
backpack?
To a hotel with towels. I mean, I'll pay for, you know, a quality place. But
you change underwear, don't you?
My biggest problem for travel is my shoes. Mm-hmm. So if I pack a shoe, I mean, looking at the size of that.
Oh, my gosh.
So if I pack one shoe, it takes half a backpack.
Yeah.
So I've got to, the key to traveling for me is only needing one, maybe two pairs of shoes. Everything else you can roll, you know, turn on YouTube. You can roll it and put it in there. You don't have to take the creams, the toothpaste, all that with you. You can get it when you get there.
Yeah.
And so it just saves a lot of time.
Did you see what he just did? He lifted his leg up and showed his shoe onto the stream out there. A movement that I think I am incapable of making. That was impressive.
You can't lift your leg up off the
floor. No, but
don't make him do this too. You try to make him already touch the rim. Now I'm going to make him pull his leg up.
Yeah,
and he's going to rip something else.
Do you slip into your shoes or do you still tie them?
Skechers, baby.
You should try the shoes called Hey Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear they're great for people who don't like to bend over.
My dad bought a shoehorn. He had hip surgery, and he bought a shoehorn that's like
it's like a chain.
I've got
actually,
one of those.
I've got
one of those. It's the best. Oh, it's the best.
Well,
you have one of those?
Yes. Yeah. And you could use it as a cane if you're in a pinch. Yeah.
He called me when he was down in Florida one day at my place, and he says, "Where's your shoehorn?" And I said, "Are you serious? You're in Florida and you're looking for you? Who doesn't have a shoehorn at their house, Kelly?" I'm like, "A shoehorn?"
There was no shoehorn in Michael Kelly's
yes,
condo.
Yes, you're right.
And I tore the place apart.
That's awesome.
A shoehorn. Oh,
John awful. Hancock, Michael Kelly.
Horrible.
Amy Marks Corson, Chris Ronji. Hey. These fellas are with us for the whole hour.
Oh, boy.
Until 10 o'clock on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow the Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hancock and Kelly hanging out with us on the Chris and Amy Show until 10 o'clock. You know, we're on from 9 until noon, Amy and I are. That started a few weeks ago. We hope that you've been hanging out with us, and we're glad you are today. Tell Alexa to play KMOX, and she'll do it. Your smart speaker, say play KMOX, it'll do it. It'll be really good for you. We have a texter who says that we should Google the Stuffa jacket, S-T-U-F-F-A, and so I've done so.
Yeah.
It is a jacket that you can wear, and you use it instead of a carry-on. So it has 12 pockets. There are 12 concealed.
I feel like TSA would hate that.
No, you just take it off. You take the jacket off, and you put it on the belt. It's not a bad idea. And so it's got it's
I feel like Inspector Gadget walking around.
It costs $320.
Wow.
Excuse me, honey, can you grab my
It's like cargo.
Can you grab my box?
It is
from right there.
It's like yes, but they're all concealed on the inside.
Yeah.
So you don't see the zippers or whatever.
It's got
12 pockets.
So I went to the Stuffa jacket and I clicked on their website and the first thing they show is someone skydiving in the vest. Why are they skydiving in this stuff a jacket?
Well, Amy, I don't know.
Well, it's cold.
I don't have an answer for that.
It's cold up there.
You don't have to bring all your stuff with you while you're skydiving.
I can only imagine if you had to stuff all of your stuff into a jacket, dude, you would have like the world's largest puffer jacket.
Yeah.
Because I'm not kidding, you guys. When I say he would check a bag, but not the bag that's like, you know, this tall for a weekend. It's the big one.
It's the you're going to Europe.
They took on the Titanic.
Yeah.
That's what
when they were leaving for the rest of their lives.
Weekend.
Yeah, but you got to have your stuff in there. And, you know, socks take up a lot of room.
Do you know what?
And you got to have, for example, last weekend I took extra underpants and T-shirts and socks because you never know.
Right.
And here
but
comes
you didn't
the wedding.
Bring your...
I wore two T-shirts under my shirt for the wedding.
Wow.
So it's a good
you
thing
have like
I,
a blood issue
it's
or something?
A good
How
thing
can
I
you
have...
be this cold at this size?
Did you not walk outside last weekend?
I did, but it wasn't that cold.
Well, it is when the wind's blowing.
It's like 50 degrees
and you're
out.
On a plane.
But I mean, it sounds like you were going to the Arctic to ski.
It was 47. And the wind was
You
blowing.
Wear long it, underwear it when like, it's 47?
If you're going to stand up and talk for 30 minutes, yeah, you gotta be prepared. I'm a Eagle Scout.
Mm-hmm.
And be prepared. That's the motto.
How many
of the Boy
blankets
Scouts.
Do you sleep under at nighttime?
Well, you got the sheet. Then you got the blanket.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then you got the comforter.
The comforter?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Well, but yeah, I mean, you got to turn, you know, the fan on. And
you have one of the comforters that's for decoration purposes only, like you don't actually use it?
Well, you've got the comforter when you have, you know, guests in the house.
Yeah.
And then you got the comforter you sleep with.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've got, and my comforter has a really soft side to it, and then it's got the decorating side to it. And I like to have the soft side down.
Yeah.
That's the way I roll.
Probably the way it's meant to be.
Do you have to remove decorative
right.
pillows before you go to bed? Do you have decorative pillows on your bed?
No.
No.
Oh, good. Wow.
That's great.
Because sometimes that's an ordeal, removing the
it's
decorative
the most
pillows.
It's the ridiculous but thing in the world.
Three pillows. I'm a three pillow guy.
Good for you.
At night.
Really?
And, yeah, you get
one three. Between your legs, or
no, buddy? What do you put a pillow in your legs for?
Well, a lot of people.
I get
a pillow
that.
Between their
yeah.
legs.
Back. It helps with your lower
yeah,
back.
Your hips.
Yeah.
My lower
it feels
back
better.
Is doing just fine.
Yeah.
Although I can't lift my leg up, but no, the very,
you do the pillow between my legs?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I threw the comforter between my legs. You
yeah.
do the pillow?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't. I probably should, but yeah. I'm that person. Like I'm tired. I get into bed. I don't like things that are ordeals. And I know you could say, well, that's not an ordeal, but it feels like an ordeal. I just want to get in bed. So I get in bed, my head hits the pillow, I'm out.
Really?
But I do think, because sometimes my back's a little uncomfortable, I think I would feel better if I had a pillow, like, you know, under my knees. But it feels like an ordeal. Mm. I think it's because I'm such an ordeal all the time.
I was going to say, I'm over here like, did you just say you don't like ordeals?
No.
Your whole day is an ordeal. Everything about you is an ordeal. What are you talking about?
I think that's why. By the time I get into bed, I've had it. I can't deal with
can't
this ordeal
anymore.
Oh,
man. Hancock and Kelly, that's an ordeal.
Yes.
And they're with us for another half hour. It is Chris and Amy on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Well, Hancock and Kelly are in with Chris Ranji and me on a Friday, as they always are. And guys, lot going on this week, locally and nationally. Let's start with the city of St. Louis. A brand new mayor, Mayor-elect Kara Spencer. She held her first press conference yesterday after defeating incumbent Tashara Jones. Now, she will be sworn in less than a week. And apparently,
15th?
This is the quickest turnaround for a new mayor. Usually a new mayor has 14 days. She'll have 7 between winning the election and being sworn in as mayor. She's had meetings already with different department heads, with the governor, the county executive, other regional leaders. What are you expecting, looking forward to with the new mayor, Kara Spencer, in the let's say the first few weeks?
I hope she makes good on a lot of the commitments she talked about. And in this campaign, she spent a lot of time focusing back on the basics and getting the processes of government to work. And I think her an early success or failure will be determined on the fact of, are they able to get this government back up and working, pave those potholes, pick up the trash, seem to find some way to work with the state of Missouri and the governor as it relates to policing. I think, you know, most of the policing burden's been taken off of her shoulders by this state legislature now, and that the mayor has the bully pulpit to talk about crime, but it's truly the governor's office who has more influence than even they do.
So
I think that's how she gauges her success.
They announced yesterday that the four-county region is building a police academy training center. And the city has been not particularly receptive to
cooperative.
That. And so I think one of the big things here, and now that you've got the state appointees running the police department, I think the city will participate in that. And I think that's a good thing. When you've got a state-of-the-art training facility and you've got multiple police jurisdictions participating in it, you're going to be, I think, able to recruit better, train better, deliver better officers. And she's got an opportunity here. If she's able to work with the state effectively, she's got an opportunity here to make a real difference as it relates to public safety. And I think, that's the biggest issue facing the city. And I think it's the biggest opportunity for Kara Spencer to make a difference.
Investment in the city is going to have to happen, too.
Yes.
Simultaneously, right? So how do you – I just think it's a very difficult task to make the city safe first before people want to invest in it, because investment also helps make the city safe. Investment from the outside. So then, how do you accomplish that? Because they both kind of need to happen simultaneously.
Well, the safety perception is got to be the first hurdle that you leap over. And I think if you can cross that and begin to develop a sense in the broader metropolitan community that it's safe to go to events in St. Louis, St. Louis welcomes events. Yeah, I think the Sports Commission has a huge role to play in the future of our city. And but if you get to the place where people feel comfortable and safe coming downtown, then I think you can see business investment, development. And there's a lot of stuff. You got the geospatial thing in North St. Louis where
– off Jefferson, yeah.
That's got real potential to develop – an area of the city that's been ignored, frankly, for decades.
Yeah.
So there's some reason to be optimistic here.
Yeah. So that particular drive right past that new campus that's being built, I go that way to Granite City a lot when I'm on the way home. And I have for years gone that path in and out of the city. It is, you're right. There's a long stretch of about a mile or two on Jefferson. Just a lot of open land or buildings that are vacant, not even vacant, but derelict, just right there. And you think, why can't this be something? Why don't they develop?
Are you talking about immediately around the NGA?
Within a mile.
Right. So a lot of that was acquired apart as the NGA because of certain rules related to what they're going to be doing in national security.
But it's been that way for years.
Right. No. I think NGA will help transform that area even within a mile.
Just its presence?
Just its presence eventually. Yeah. But it's a hard thing to actually pull the trigger on because the bodies aren't showing up there yet. So you can't put the retail in
right
till the bodies are showing up. And, you know, that's we're caught in the government processes.
Well, let me ask you a question. As Amy said, she has about a week to put together a staff and whatever. Why? Why do they hold an election and then expect somebody to assume office in a week?
Well,
that's not even a...
So, you know, for the last 60, 70 years, the effective election for mayor was in March. It was the primary. Whoever won the Democratic primary is going to be the mayor. And so this was never really an issue. Now that they've got this janky system where you go to a runoff in April, that's really... fairly new here. So I happen to think that it's not sound to hold important elections like the mayor of a major city in April where nobody votes.
I agree.
It would be much better if they would have a system where you have the initial election in August and then the runoff, the final election in November, and then the mayor takes office in January. That just makes much more sense. You'd have higher voter participation. And I think potentially you get better quality of candidates.
Yeah, we were talking about that, Amy, right? I mean, why they don't do it in November because the ballot is so big in November.
Yeah.
But Wouldn't you rather overcomplicate the ballot than ask people to come back out and vote again a few months?
Do it in the odd-numbered year. But voters are used to showing up in November. And I guarantee you would have a higher participation rate by the public.
When you're looking at Kara Spencer stepping in, building her administration, we know some things are going to take a longer time. Crime, fixing the perception of crime. How quickly can you turn around something like trash pickup or potholes and just say, hey, it's very practical. It's a matter of logistics. Here's what we need to do.
I don't know. But I doubt that they know. And I would be completely transparent. I think this mayor's got a unique position to come in. Clearly the voters were saying, hey, we want to go a new direction. She spent a lot of time saying this is what I was going to focus on. I don't see a lose scenario here. If she walks in and says, oh my gosh, it's worse than we thought. Here's what exists. And then lays out how she's going to accomplish it. I think people will appreciate it. Amy, my biggest concern, having been around St. Louis city government my entire life, is I'm not sure there's anybody who actually knows how to make it run. Let me give you an example. There was a guy named Todd Walterman who was legendary. I think he started in the Schemel administration and he went through all those, Bosley, et cetera, all the way up. But Tashara got rid of him. Todd actually made the city work and run. And there's just things that have been lost. There should be 7 or 8 Todds in St. Louis city government. I'm here to tell you that doesn't exist.
What do you guys feel about a city administrator then? A non-politician, someone whose only job is to make the daily things work.
I think it's a great idea.
Yep.
And it works in places all over the country. And, you know, I think the reality is for the last 4 years, we've not had a mayor that was focused on the day in, day out, nuts and bolts of governing and taking care of a city and its infrastructure, and we paid a price for it. So if you've got somebody there that's dedicated to getting things done, how could that possibly be a negative?
Yeah.
But also, we have talked about this before, that we might expect too much from the mayor of this city.
Yeah.
So how do we balance that? That we think they can come in and do this and do that and fix everything. And if it doesn't go well, it's their fault. Whoever's the mayor, it's all on them. Because the complications are a little wider than just that.
I don't know. Getting the basics working, I think that they should be held accountable for. That's what this mayor ran on. I think part of the problems that we've defined mayors as they're the ones who are going to solve our homeless problem, or they're the ones who are dealing with blah, blah, blah. I just don't see it. I think that the situation is defined as such that if they're not actually meeting the things they said they were going to do, then throw them out. And I think that's what happened to this former mayor, right? She said, I'm going to reform the criminal justice system. I'm going to fix the prison. I think her own voters also voted against her because she didn't deliver on what she promised.
Yeah, I think when Alderwoman Daniela Velasquez brought up the city administrator, she's the one kind of pushing that idea here in the city of St. Louis. It was not something that I was super familiar with, and I didn't even realize a lot of the surrounding municipalities have a city administrator. I didn't know Clayton has a city administrator. They have a mayor and a city administrator. I didn't know that. Kansas City, we did know. A bigger city, that makes sense. They have a city administrator. And so, to me, something like that makes sense to keep. Because Kara Spencer as mayor is going to have her hands full with a lot of issues. Maybe she focuses on crime. Maybe she focuses on investment and development. And as you said, as a mayor of a city like St. Louis, you do need to make some trips. Maybe not as many as Mayor Jones made, but some trips to D.C. and so forth. It makes sense, with my limited knowledge, that a city administrator could just keep the daily things going.
It's common sense.
Yeah, and it's what needs to happen, and people need to see the difference. They need to see potholes getting filled aggressively in the city. And she's got a real opportunity here, and I hope she seizes it.
Well, there's a text message here that asks, why do you need a city administrator? You have department heads in each department supposed to oversee and run their departments. So you're telling me none of them can do their jobs?
It's a good question. I think that we've seen city administrators work far more effectively than folks who are political appointees.
And don't forget that, you know, the city is not an island isolated. It's part of a broader region. And that broader region needs to work together effectively on behalf of the entire region. And one of the things that a city administrator can bring to the table is the ability to work with St. Charles County, Jefferson County, Franklin County, St. Clair County, Madison County, and begin to build something that's far beyond just the inner city of St. Louis, which as a footprint is pretty small. And so that regionalism that you hear talked about sometimes is extremely important. And I do think the city has been less of a regional player in the last little bit than it probably should be.
Is it because we have so many municipalities? Does that hurt us in that way?
I think it does. I mean, you know, you look at St. Louis County and there's, what, 90-some municipalities. I can't think of another county. I mean, Los Angeles County's not like that, you know. So I think, yeah. I mean, but we're kind of stuck there. I mean, that's not going away. Mm-hmm. So, but having a broader regional approach, I think, makes a lot of sense.
I'll just say this, Ron, with the department heads and whether the mayor can appoint new department heads or a city manager would keep things in check. The director of the streets department, she didn't do her job. 2 weeks into it, she said she didn't know the streets were that bad because she got bad information. To me, that is not a competent director of the streets department. That's your only job, is to know how the streets are doing.
My other hope of a city administrator would be to also be somebody who can face the realities. There is going to be a heavy pushback towards partnering, public partner, you know what I'm trying to say.
public private
partnerships.
Yes.
Because, hey, you know, the city should have. I think a city administrator could be like, wait a minute, we can be doing X, Y, Z, whether it be picking up trash or running the water department far more effectively if we were partnering with people who are experts in this rather than the, you know, whoever I've appointed as my, you know, water department head or trash lead.
It's Hancock and Kelly with Chris and Amy on KMOX. Hancock and Kelly join the show for a few more minutes. Guys, China has been paying attention to these tariffs that have been levied upon it, and they have retaliated with a 125% tariff against us. So, look, most economists that you hear from will say this is going to end up being very bad for average people in the United States, for middle class and poorer people. They will be taking on the burden of this. And I don't expect China to not retaliate, even though they were warned not to. But what are they going to do? Just sit there and take it? So what are your thoughts on where we are now?
I'm not a financial expert, although I've spent a lot of time on CNBC the last week or so. They talk in more circles than the political people do, the financial guys. And I think it really comes down to the main thing I'm taking away is that, yes, the president can continue to yo-yo us this way, and we, the American people, among primarily working people who are in the middle, are going to be continued to get hurt. But what's the long-term plan in terms of what this does to the stability of the world order? Because a lot of these countries now are making their financial decisions independent mm-hmm. of us, and China's one of them.
Yeah, and I think that damage is done. And I think it's probably irreparable where our allies and our trading partners now know that they can't effectively rely on the United States. And once that's been done, it's kind of like, you know, the unfaithful spouse. Mm-hmm. Once you've gone there, it's very hard, if even possible, to win that trust back. And that damage has been done. As it relates to China, I think, you know, China is an appropriate place for us if we're going to have strategic tariffs. And there is a role for strategic tariffs in the global economy and the global national security. That's an appropriate place to have tariffs. But you've got to have dialogue. And one of my fears right now is that all these countries Western European countries and Asian countries, they're going to start crafting trade deals amongst themselves, cutting out the United States of America. That's not a good place for us to be, and it's certainly not the most stable place for the world to be in.
Right. Our allies know they're never more than one presidential election away from being abandoned or being retaliated against in economic turmoil. Also, domestically, Donald Trump, just hours before he paused the tariffs, posted on social media that it was a, quote, great time to buy regarding the stock market. How is that not a huge red flag? How is that not like market manipulation? Or, I mean, when the president says, hey, guys, it's a great time to buy stocks, and then hours later he pauses the tariffs?
So we'll never know. Yeah. We'll never know whether this whole scheme from its inception was meant to wreck the stock market so that you drive it down and then you make an announcement and make a bunch of money. I mean, I want to believe that that was not the purpose of this, but we'll never know ultimately. And the reality is that the president's policies and the announcements and the way they were rolled out caused a cratering of the stock market. That's inarguable. It happened. And then we know he announces a 90-day pause, and the stock market has, you know, a historically good day, one day. I don't know what it's doing today, but, you know, I hope at some point it's going to stabilize, but, you know, that's far beyond my expertise.
I think it's all about the man's ego. I think he just wants people to call him up on the phone and make him feel important, and that's what's running our global economy right now.
Well,
who can kiss his butt.
I hope it does not get any worse, and I hope we don't head to a recession or anything of that sort. But if American families, the average American family, is looking at $2,000 or $3,000 extra expense,
yep,
because of this, that's not good. It's not good for any of us.
Nope.
No.
All right, John and Michael, enjoy your weekend. We'll see you next week.
See you guys.
See you guys.
Chris and Amy, roll on. 10 o'clock hour is next on K.